It's the Stage Run Radio Show here on WREF. At Spanky's on the west side, I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for tuning in right here on WREF. And we've got a lot to get to, talking USI men's basketball. The head coach himself, Stan Gerard, he's here. And, we're talking about USI basketball. A lot to get to, Coach. Really appreciate the time. How are we doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Sorry about last week, but I'm glad I'm here today.
That's okay. Hey, you had a good excuse, some family time, good Thanksgiving.
The Cowboys won.
That's true.
And I got to spend time with family, so that's what holidays are all about, is just having some great family time. And the Cowboys winning, and the Eagles win. So it was a great week for me last week.
You're an Eagles fan secretly too?
Eagles, USI, baby. The original Eagles,
okay,
man.
Okay.
Come on. We're going to boo him on that, right? Boo.
Well, hold on. First of
the
all,
original,
we're
the original
about,
Eagles.
We're talking about the NFL. And then I'm a screaming Eagles guy. When I refer to the team on the air, I call them the screaming Eagles.
At least you didn't say Screagle.
Yeah,
so we are screaming Eagles here, right? We are screaming Eagles here.
That's true. That's right. A lot to get to on the show. A couple of wins to talk about. First time the team has won games consecutively all year. Tolu Samuels will also come on the show. A little round of applause for Tolu. A lot of fun to hear from him. He's a really good kid, so looking forward to that. But, hey, Coach, these two wins for this team, I'll tell you what, traveling with the team, being around the team, it's a different feeling having won two games. Valpo, Kentucky State. We'll start with Valpo. We'll get to Valpo in a second. What is the feel around the locker room, the team, the program after these two wins?
Winning is fun, man. We always say that. Winning is fun. And you was in that car with us on the way to the airport from Florida. I'm sure that was a miserable drive to the airport in the car with me, especially because I'm irritated, easily agitated, not a man of many words, because I'm just a real competitor and I want to win. And I was very disappointed, not in the way we played for the most part, but in the result. And I was not a happy camper. But the past few days, our guys are seeing, they saw some success, of course. And the mood is different. They believe a little bit more now, of course, but it's just great to finally secure some games on the other side of the column. It's contagious also, so we got to continue to trend here and do great things, of course, this week and going forward.
As far as the team goes and the field goes, after a couple of wins, we always knew that this was in this team. You guys had the ability to get wins like this, but we just hadn't seen it until this past week. What has really been the on-court difference between narrow losses, take VMI, for example, and big wins, like Valpo or Kentucky State, for example?
Well, I think the biggest difference now is guys are now seeing what we're doing here. We're now enjoying the fruits of our labor. We have worked very diligently here and very hard in trying to get things going the right way. And, when you have 12 new guys in your roster, it's going to take time, But to go on the road and win at Valpo, I think they were – am I right, 4-2?
Yeah.
Going into the game.
Actually, they were 4-1.
4-1, I'm sorry. Well, we made them 4-2.
Yeah.
But 4-1 going into that game. Third in the Missouri Valley Conference, and I said this the other day after my interview, that was a signature win, not because of the win, but because of where we were at that point in time with our team. We were a struggling team coming off of a couple in a row, and we were scratching and sniffing for our first win, and to get one on the road, that tells you that our guys are getting better. And I alluded to this after our Incarnate Word game, and after our UIC losses in Florida, even though we didn't win the ball games, I told our guys we're getting better.
Yeah.
And we just got to stay the course and just trust the process a little bit more, because good things are going to happen. And by golly, they happened pretty quick.
Yeah, they certainly did. First half against Valpo, Ishmael Habib hitting 6 threes. He was fantastic in the team on defense, locking it down against a really good Valpo offense. But when it comes to the Valpo game, I don't really want to know about the game. I want to talk about the locker room celebration afterwards. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Did anybody see that?
Media.
Show of hands.
Pretty
anybody
cool.
See that locker room
cool.
celebration?
Yeah. So
when the game was over, we usually walk in the locker room, at least the first few games, disappointed, not happy. And as we're walking in, there's water bottles sitting on the side of the locker room. So the coaching staff, we grab water bottles. And we go in there, and the guys are sitting there waiting for the coaching staff to come in. We just sprayed them with water, and it was a really live celebration The bad part about it is Sprue's water bottle had Gatorade in it.
Oh, my God.
And he sprayed Sheridan Sharp in the eye. And Sheridan walks out because his eye is burning with the Gatorade. But you know what? I'll take the Gatorade eye spray for a win.
Yeah.
You know, next game. But it was a fun celebration. And, you know, our guys deserve it. And that was a great win for us. And again, a signature win because of where we were with our team. But it was a fun celebration in the locker room. And, of course, a fun ride home.
Yeah.
And that made Thanksgiving dinner a whole lot better because we won a huge game.
Thanksgiving in the varsity club room as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool that you guys were able to make that happen.
Yeah, we you know, Coach Missouri put together some a Thanksgiving meal, Metro Diner, the new restaurant here on the east side. They catered our food, and our guys were surprised. I'm sure Tolu, it wasn't his mother's cooking, but it was a pretty good meal, pretty good helping. We had turkey and ham and peach cobbler was okay. Good with ice cream with some sides, but. Just had a chance to feed these guys and break bread with these guys on Thanksgiving Day. You know, so much to be thankful for and you know, having these guys on our roster and, you know, in good health, in good spirits and having family. That's a lot, you know, so thankful for those things among some other things.
So you had a slice of peach cobbler?
I did not. There was about 10 cups of ice cream.
Oh.
And it was melting, and some of the guys had dessert before their meal, and we didn't do that. Now, my wife, we were bouncing around for Thanksgiving, so I didn't want to eat too much.
Sure.
So I just kind of tasted the food, but I did not do dessert.
And I'm just trying to nail this down because it sounds like you do have dessert. I'm getting to this because you were offered a slice of cake on your way up.
Happy
here.
Birthday, man! No,
that's
I know
not
you,
what
you, he's only he won't tell him happy birthday.
That's
on
not
there.
What I was
happy
trying to
birthday,
do.
Happy birthday, Brad!
You were trying. We were trying to get you a slice of cake, and you turned it down.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was because it was my cake or because you don't do cake.
I love sweets. That's I have a brick problem. I'm a sweets guy, especially about 10:30 at night before bed.
Yes.
It makes me have nightmares, honestly. But I'm going to get a piece of that cake and take it home tonight, and I'll have it tonight. But the peach cobbler, I didn't try it. Our guys, they were fighting over the food. They're late. And I didn't want to go home and tell my wife I ate dinner already because we were bouncing around a couple places. So I just, you know, wanted to sample a couple things, and it was pretty good.
You know, I'm asking this out of real basketball curiosity, not even to be funny. A practice on Thanksgiving. Were the guys ready to go? The energy?
No.
The trip to Fan Hayes.
You know, I made a practice plan for practice, and I wanted to get after it, you know what I mean? Because I knew how important this Valpo game was. But I always, sometimes in practice, I read the body language in our guys, and sometimes you got to shift so that way no one gets hurt. You know, I've seen over my 25 years of coaching, I've seen so many guys get hurt because they're not ready to practice. And as about 10 or 15 minutes into practice and stretching out, I can just read certain guys. I'm not going to tell Tolu this, but I just watch certain guys and see how they are. And we just got a lot of shots. We shot the basketball because I was hoping that carried over into the first half of Kentucky State.
Yeah.
It did not,
well,
you know, but
you guys still won big.
We won big, but we shot a better second half. But I just wanted to do some stuff fun. You know, it's the holidays. I didn't want to kill them, you know, in terms of running and a lot of intense things. But I also wanted these guys to have fun on the holiday. And I hopefully, you know, hopefully we had that.
Certainly did. And there's nothing more fun, especially on the holidays, than winning two in a row for USI basketball right here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show. At Spanky's on the west side, right by Schnucks off the Lloyd. We're talking about USI hoops with the head coach. Take a step aside. Don't go anywhere right here on WREF. And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF at Spanky's on the west side. I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for tuning in. Talking all things USI hoops with the head coach himself, Stan Gerard. Talked about the Valpo game, talked about Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. But after that, you guys, maybe a little bit of tryptophan in there because your words, not mine, didn't shoot great in the first half. Didn't seem to matter with a dominant win against Kentucky State for your second in a row on Saturday. How do you feel about where you guys play or how you guys played against Kentucky State?
Well, of course, we got the job done. That was, for and foremost, you know, to finish our week and secure home victory. I wish we shot it better. We got some great looks. You know, we didn't shoot particularly too well. But when you look down the stat sheet, you know, I think we had four or five guys in double figures.
Yeah.
Cardell, double-double. And Tolu Samuels continues to, through two games, or last two games, averaging 14 rebounds a game. Ola, let's give that. That's huge, you know. The last guy, you know, Polakovic, we talked about Polakovic here off air, but he was a rebounding machine and is now playing professional. But, you know, Tolu, 15 rebounds at Valpo and 13 against Kentucky State. Ola, 5 blocks, 58 team rebounds. Mm. That's huge. We had 51 at Valpo. Gave up 27 points in the first half, 29 in the second half. And then just going back, same thing at Valpo, 30 points in the first half, 26 in the second half, and to hold these guys at 31% from the field. But also I think the biggest thing for me was the 22 assists on top of the tough man stuff. But it was just a great win to come back home after a huge win at Valpo and come back home, protect home court, and hopefully that gives us momentum going into our game this Wednesday at Western Michigan.
Yeah, and Western Michigan, that's a team that's had some success over the years, good league in the MAC, and we'll talk about that game soon. I understand that Kentucky State is a Division II team.
Right.
And
old GOVC Foles.
That's
they
true,
were in
too.
The league at one point.
Yeah, late 80s into the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Man, they were there for a handful of years. But I understand that since you guys are the D1 team and they're the D2 team, you guys were heavily favored, but you mentioned the assists, and it did kind of seem like an aha moment for your ball movement a little bit. And you think of a guy like, okay, Sheridan Charm played well off the bench, but Ishmael Habib, K.K. Brown combined for 0 turnovers in that game and 10 assists between the two of them. And that's what's interesting, right? We could talk about how well Ish played against Valpo, and he had the 6 threes in the first half and 7 turnovers against Valpo. So what changed for him?
Well, the Valpo game, you know, out the gate, he was pretty good for us, you know, and I wanted him, you know, with him being our leading scorer, you're going to have 4 or 5 turnovers because he forced the issue at times, and I'm okay with that because I want him to stay aggressive. You know, I think he's a great example of what we want to be as a team, and he's also, as we go here, he's bringing guys along. Even in practice today, he's getting on guys who are not going hard enough. And the 7 assists, you know, could that number be condensed a little bit? Yes, and that's going to change. You know, he handles the ball so much. And I know Ish, you know, and I know KK, I know Sheridan. Those guys look at those numbers, and that bothers them. So I would guarantee you it's going to change. But, you know, in our guards' defense, Kentucky State played zone the whole game.
Yeah.
And they dared us to shoot the basketball. You know, we didn't shoot it too well the first half, but the second half we found our rhythm. But, you know, a lot of shots, you know, even in timeouts when we were shooting – some numbers that I wasn't too happy with. I didn't want to take their confidence away and tell them to quit shooting. I just wanted better shots, you know. And we got great shots in half court, but got even better shots when we pushed the ball in transition.
Yeah, I feel like that's when you guys are really playing some of your best basketball, too.
You know, Coach Pearl always said this, we are at our best when we run.
Yep.
You know, and I still use that same quote to this day. When we run, we get great results, and we get stops. We got to continue to push the basketball and try to get out and transition, because I always say this, the less you make these guys think, the better they are, because they are playing on instinct. And that's the game of basketball. It's an instinct basketball game because it's so fast, so many great players, so many great coaches, and instinct, you know, reactions are great. You know, you look at, you know, a guy like Caden Brown, KK, he hates Caden. That's his, even though that's his government name.
Does he dislike it? Because I know that they say Caden on the
and
PA
Tolu,
system.
Tolu hates his government name as well, and I won't repeat that on the air.
We're talking.
I'll let you guys talk about that later.
We're going to talk about
But you know, we made the change and we put Ish on the basketball because KK is a jet, you know, and we can kick him the basketball off the court. He can make plays, and so I think that's benefited our transition offense a whole lot more than what it was in the past.
You know, there was something I noticed at the end of the Kentucky State game when the game was all but decided, right? You guys had a big second half lead. Cardell's in the game, and you guys just, let's be honest, you don't have a very deep roster,
no,
right?
No.
So you have Caden Gelhausen in the game, but you guys still have not starters on the floor, but guys that you rely heavily on.
Yeah.
And at the end of that game, on the floor, Cardell's in the game, and you guys are doing everything you can to get him his 9th and 10th rebounds,
you know,
so he can get the double-double. I've never seen a coach that invested in getting a double-double for a player.
anything to keep them happy. You know what I mean? Because, you know, these guys' moods, their moods can shift just like that.
Yeah.
And I don't mind guys counting rebounds because that's a very unselfish stat. And I remember in the timeout, he said, "Coach, I need 3 rebounds to get a double-double." I'm like, "Well, just stay in the game and get 3 rebounds. We'll pull you out, you know."
He got it like the very end,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah, he sure did. And I think he kind of took his time to get it so he wouldn't come out, you know. But, you know, anytime guys are counting out, Polakovic, if you ever said in my timeouts, Polakovic would ask for a stat sheet in those timeouts. How many rebounds? And I would lie to him. If he had 12, I'd say 9. So that would make him, you know, just go a little bit harder. You know what I mean? But that's a very unselfish stat.
Yeah, maybe just me, the broadcaster, not being a math guy. But I feel like it would be very difficult to count my own stats as I'm running all over the floor.
I've never. And I had a guy before, Darius Adams, at UND. He's a high-level professional basketball player right now and is making millions playing basketball in China. This young man, he counted his points and his field goals in a game, and he would come over and recite those. I'm like, I thought it was selfish, but he kept track of it in during the game, how many points he had. It was the weirdest thing.
Were you ever a counter in game?
No.
You didn't need to. You just knew that the numbers were good.
No, I never did. I just wanted to win, you know. And, you know, it's just a different generation now. These guys think differently. And as long as they're not counting points and they may be counting points, I don't know it, but they are counting rebounds, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, you're okay with it. So I'm going to just say something that I've been keeping a secret because I don't want to get him into trouble. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay, I think it was. I'm not going to say which game because I feel like that could change your opinion on this whole story. But it was a home game, and Ola came up to me during the game.
They can't be talking to you.
I'm doing my job. During a timeout, he was like, "Hey, I think the scorer missed a point or a basket or something like that. I don't think it was a rebound. I think it was a basket, something like that."
It was a basket. I think I heard it. I feel like I know about that.
You got to check up on that. And I'm on the air, and I'm kind of doing like my version of sign language. I don't know sign language, and neither does he, I'm assuming. Doing my version of sign language, being like, "Hey, that's not my job." Really, it was just a, you know, kind of a shrug, like, I don't know. Which I'm sure didn't make him all that happy, but I thought, I bet you Coach Gerard would be really unhappy that his starting center was asking me, of all people, about his own stats in-game. But you just said you're okay with it, so.
Rebounds. Not points. And that's above your pay grade, man. That's a Ray Simmons. That's a Ray Simmons. And you know what's funny, man? It's funny you say that because Polakovic, his last year, he would always – after games or the next day, he would go to Ray Simmons.
Oh, my God.
He always accused Ray Simmons of missing a rebound or a point. I mean, it was an ongoing thing all year. And speaking of Ray Simmons, our deepest condolences, to Ray, lost his mother last week. Our deepest condolences to Ray and his family. But he would always go to Ray Simmons and complain about he missed something there. But I would guarantee you, Ray didn't miss that. You know, that's Jacob, you know, just counting the wrong number in his head.
So you're signing against your player in that situation.
Yes, points, yes. I'm always signing against points. Okay. I think that's a very and let me say this. Ola is not a selfish guy.
No.
He don't have a selfish bone in his body, but I think that's a selfish thing to do because you don't worry about points. You worry about the tough man stuff.
See, this is why I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think I heard him over there talking to you. I just didn't address it, you know what I mean, because this man, he's an everyday guy, no issues, never had a bad day where I'm wanting him to push himself a little more. He and Tolu, they're just everyday guys that brings it every day in practice and make our team better.
No doubt. You know, speaking of everyday guys, and we alluded to him earlier, hard not to, reigning OVC newcomer of the week, Ishmael Habib,
yes, sir.
Just announced earlier today.
That's
so a
awesome,
round of applause
yeah.
for Ish. You know,
I got a funny one. So when I used to, prior to this year, I used to, like, in front of the team, like, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. But the temperature on our team right now, our guys, I don't know how they perceive that. So I pulled Ish aside, like, "Hey, man, congrats again." "They robbed me, coach." That's his exact – I'm like, "Rob you of what? I should have been player of the week."
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that kind of coincides to Ola.
Yeah.
Complaining about his points because he thought he should have been player of the week.
Well, I tell you this, and all of your players, they're confident guys. You have to be a high-level competitive athlete, and I get that. I don't think I've ever met a more confident guy than Ishmael Habib, when it, especially on your roster. See, he goes up to me. I don't know if you knew this. He went up to me.
He's telling all the secrets, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. I'm listening.
What else is the Stanger on radio show for? Before the season began, he guaranteed me a win against Butler, and it didn't happen.
Yep.
And so I've been giving him grief about it, you know, for the past few weeks, and he does not like it. And it's just my way of getting under his skin a little bit. But he'll go up to me in warm-ups and be like, getting a good win today. And, you know, of course, he said that before Valpo. Like, good win today. And but he really believes it. That's the thing. It's not fake with Ish. He really genuinely believes
everything
he says.
I'll tell you a story. Last week, you know, sometimes when you're a team and you often get negative press about bad stuff, or people come up and talk to you like, hey, this kid, your kid did this, that, and the other. Last week I was it happened, I don't know the exact day, I'm going to give an example, maybe a Monday. I go to office on Tuesday morning, and I don't know why I keep saying Sandy Hatfield. She's on my mind. But Angie Goble, she's like, hey, it's one of your players is up here yesterday in the office, and he's looking for Andy Brown. I'm like, really? And Andy's our compliance guy. I'm like, what's that all about? So anyway, she didn't know. And she said, he's the nicest guy in the world, and he apologized because we was not winning.
Oh my gosh.
He promised her an OVC championship. And my exact words, I said, that must be Ishmael B. And so she's like, I don't – because, you know, 12 new players, she don't know the guy. So I pull out the sheet. Which one is it? Ishmael B. You know, Ishmael B. But she just commended him on being such a nice guy and apologetic. Because we were struggling, and, you know, your story makes a lot of sense because that's who he is. He believes in what we're doing and that we can win some ball games, and, you know, hopefully he can deliver on his promise to Angie, because that's our ultimate goal.
Well, he promised me, too, you know, so okay. I take that seriously, too. Well, but anyway, you know, in talking about Ish, though, on the floor, I mentioned how he's an everyday guy. He's got double figures in each game this year, all eight games.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack Campion, he's the starting point guard, at least for every season I've been here up until this season. And he was a really good player for you guys, but he wasn't necessarily an everyday scorer for you guys in the same way that Ish is. What does it do for you as a coach, for your team, to have a guy at point guard that can do that, that can go for double figures pretty much every given night?
I think the biggest thing is trust. You know, knowing that every single night that he's going to be there and give you all he's got, but also make other guys better and hold them accountable. You know, he's a captain. Tolu's a captain. Ola's a captain. And they're required to be an extension of the coaching staff. And it's just been he's been a great captain in terms of just making sure, you know, guys are all in. You know, I'm sure there's some things he can do better, but so far, excuse me, he's been really good in terms of just making sure everybody's all in and on the same page, and you can't have enough of guys like that. You know, when you start talking about winning ways and doing things the right way, and, you know, Tolu's a, he's not a vocal leader. He's a lead by example type of guy. Comes from a winning program. What number did I give you? Tolu lost 9 games in 2 years at his junior college. And it's not so much of what he say, but
he's 63.
What he does, and he's just one of those kind of guys that he's a silent assassin. You know, 15 rebounds, 13 rebounds, but he doesn't say much. He's a quiet guy, but I'll take that over nothing.
And, no doubt.
And he's gonna be great for us once everything comes together for Tolu, Ola. It's just trending in the right direction. We're gonna be a pretty good ball club. And three Chicago guys, of course. From Chicago that've been knowing each other for a while, so I'm sure they think Chicago is a thing right now. He'll probably talk Chicago in a minute, but yeah. but those guys have been great for us.
USI basketball trending up with consecutive wins for the first time all year, one against Kentucky State, the other against Valpo. Big reason why, Tolu Samuels. He's coming on the program when we return right here on the Stangeron Radio Show on WREF. We're back on the Stangeron Radio Show here on WREF at Spanky's on the west side right by Schnucks. I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for coming out and talking about USI hoops. Stangeron taking a seat, having a beverage. Tolu Samuels is here in the hot seat. A round of applause for Tolu. Really appreciate you coming on, man. Yeah, they're clapping for you for coming on the show, but they're also clapping for the way you've been playing the last few games. Double-digit rebounds in three consecutive games. That's got to feel really good. What's clicking for you on the floor?
Just playing my usual game. Just always want to play hard, rebound, do the work that a lot of guys want to do out there. So I just want to stand out and just guard, play defense good, and just rebound the ball.
You know, when it comes to rebounding, I don't think that there's really anyone on the team right now that can rebound at the clip that you're rebounding. I was watching, and you probably watched it too, when it came out The Last Dance, right? Chicago, you're a Chicago guy, the Bulls. Dennis Rodman was talking about how he was reading the ball off the rim. You got there. Is that something that you think about when you're rebounding, like how the ball is going to carry him off the rim and who's shooting it? Are you scouting in that regard, or is it just, hey, I want it more than the other guys?
Yeah, I'll just say that I want it more, and I know that I'm very athletic, so I just jump and hope I can get it.
When it comes to the way you've been rebounding, and that's obviously a big part of your game, I know that scoring is also a big part of your game. How would you describe your game offensively?
Just a guy that could, like, get downhill a lot. Not a fancy, flashy guy or like a heavy three-point shooter, just someone that can get to the paint, get fouled, get to the line, just score at the rim a lot.
I think that a lot of people, they were really turned on to your game during Screaming Eagle Madness, offensively, right? The best dunker on the team, right? No doubt about that. Round of applause for Tolu about the dunks. No doubt in my mind, I gave you a 50 for that last dunk. I want to know how much practice went into it, how much preparation, because it was spot on, and you deserved the 50.
None at all. I've only done that twice in my life.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I just tried it, and it worked, and then tried it one more time, and it worked again. So I just tried to pull it out, and it worked.
Not to cause too much locker room trouble, but Stan Gerard's face, I don't think he believes you. I'm just reading his facial expression. You say twice in your life.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't believe you.
Nah, it was only twice. I've never done that before.
Did you know going into the dunk contest, like, I'm going to win? Did you know that?
For surely.
Okay.
Yeah.
For surely. A lot of people, though, thought they were going to win. I think Ola, if I had asked him, hey, are you going to win? He'd be like, of course.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, he thought he was. He was talking a little trash before, but I knew I was going to win. Yeah.
Were you talking any trash?
No, I don't talk trash because okay. I just knew I was going to win.
Okay. You talking any trash on the court, in game?
I'm usually a trash talker, but lately I haven't been a trash talker, but I'm going to start soon.
Start soon.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe we can take. It's just you're gonna hold on to creative freedom there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Again, Tolu Samuels is here on WREF and talking about him and coming to USI. Obviously, your first year on campus. Then again, it seems like almost everyone's first year on campus. 12 new players. How do you like USI so far? First impressions of Evansville, Indiana.
It's cool. I feel like it's a very like a family town. Like everyone around here is not too big, so everybody knows each other. Everybody's very welcoming. It's quiet. Everyone's big about basketball, so I really like it here.
It's kind of like the team. You guys get onto campus and you know each other. You guys get recruited by the same coaches and you stick together on campus. So it's kind of like a small little Evansville in that regard. When it comes to meeting your guys, meeting your teammates on campus, it's like the first day of school, but for every student. So how do you go about integrating into a roster that is not really set, right, and a culture that's still developing, even still in season?
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of the guys we have on our team, we're all just, like, really funny, and we're all, like, to joke around. So I feel like that brought us together, like, just in the locker room, just talk about where we came from, who we've known, just knowing basketball and just being a funny group of guys. So we all just gel really fast.
You know, for me, I do my research on where guys came from, try to figure that out. I had a lot of help after the Kentucky State game because I had an opportunity to meet your family.
Right?
So now I know where you come from. And it wasn't difficult to figure out who was Tolu Samuel's family in the stands because they brought that cutout of you. I don't know if anyone saw that.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild. I saw that and I was like, oh, I'm glad that my parents never did that at one of my games. How do you feel about the cutout?
It was a little embarrassing, but it was cool that they cared and supported a lot, so it was fine. Yeah.
That was, it was impressive printing, right? I mean, go to Staples, be like, hey, I'll take the Tolu, and they just printed one out for you. Okay, maybe we get it to catch on, potentially. How would you guys feel about carrying a Tolu Samuels cutout at the arena? Yes? We got thumbs up back there. You thought it was gone. It's only starting now. So you're a little embarrassed by that.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's okay, though.
No more embarrassed than if I called you by your first name, though.
Yeah, we'll just keep that.
No. So here's why we can't keep it between you and me, right? Because my brother's middle name is the same as your first name. He hates it.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to figure out is who hates it more. By the way, the name is, sorry, I got to do it, Ruben, which is not a bad name. I don't know why he's so against it. So my brother hates it. And if I ever want to annoy him, which is my job as his twin brother, I just call him Ruben. Why don't you like it, man?
I just grew up on Tolu. Like, my mom never, she didn't like Ruben. My grandma gave me the name Ruben. So since I was a kid, my mom would just say Tolu, Tolu, Tolu. So I didn't even know my name was Ruben until I got, like, older. Yeah.
Well, I got so many questions. Did mom not have a say in her son's name?
She did, but my grandma's very strict. So she was mad at her. So
okay, so what age did you find out what your name is?
Probably like 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you find out about your name before or after Santa?
After.
Okay.
Yeah, I know who Santa was when I was young.
All right. You could see, though, that it's a little bit reversed.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah, it is a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, Tolu means what again?
God's first son.
That's a good name. I like that. What does Ruben mean?
I think it means, like, God is sovereign.
Yeah. Okay, so all solid options. Yeah. You went by Tolu not only because of your mom, but you prefer that name, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Again, Tolu Samuels is here on WREF. I ask you a little bit more about basketball. We'll get to who you are off the floor a little bit more as well. But, you know, I know that you've been a mainstay in the starting lineup. You and Ola in the front court together. How do you guys complement each other on the floor? Because, you know, we've seen the small forward position revolve a little bit. We've seen KK move on ball. We've seen Ish go on ball, vice versa. But you two in the front court, you guys have stayed power forward and Ola as the center. So how do you two complement each other on the floor?
I just say that we just both have the same mindset. Like, we're both from Chicago. We've both been playing tough. So we always go out there and, like, together, like, let's try to get all the rebounds. Let's try to get all the blocks. So we both argue all the time about being defensive player of the year. So we're always out there, going to be out there just rebounding and just trying to play the hardest on the court at all times.
So the Chicago thing, that's real.
Yeah.
So who did you know that's on the roster now before you guys got to Evansville?
All of them. Yeah.
All the Chicago guys or just all the guys?
All the Chicago. I knew Amari, yeah. Ish, Ola. Like, my before you left, and then, yeah, I know all of them.
Right. So you played against all of them.
Yeah.
You ever play with them or just against them?
Nah, I played with Amari in, like, over the summer and, like, the springtime for, like, open gym and stuff, but nah, never on the team.
Okay. So who would win? Like, what's your record lifetime against someone like Ish, for example?
Ish was always, like, an older guy, so it wasn't, like, a real game. We played in, like, an all-star game one time
when
I was a freshman, but we lost that game because he was a lot older, so, yeah.
What about Ola?
He's an older guy too, so I play with him in a Mole Sports. It's like a celebrity game, and we lost that game as well.
A celebrity game?
Yeah.
You're a celebrity now?
Nah, it's just the name of it. Like, like, they had regular players in there too.
You know, I noticed something though. You buried the loss in the excuse of them being older.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a cop out to me.
Yeah,
I lost, but Ish is older. I lost, but Ola was older.
Yeah.
It sounds like he just lost, man.
Yeah, so. I just lost. It's okay, though.
It's okay. Yeah. Hey, you guys are winning now. Two consecutive wins. What does that do for you guys in the locker room? Kentucky State and now Valpo and now Kentucky State.
It just brings the spirits up a lot. Like, now we're a lot more, like, positive in the locker room and just saying, like, that's going to start us off to go on a winning streak now. So now we know that it's time we can start winning more games.
Again, we're talking to Tolu Samuels here on WREF, the Stan Gerard Radio Show. But don't go anywhere, Tolu. And don't go anywhere, guys. Tolu's sticking around. We're going to hear a lot more about Tolu Samuels on and off the floor when we return right here on WREF. All right, we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF at Spanky's on the West Side. I'm Brad Klein. Tolu Samuels is still here talking all things USI hoops with us. And, you know, Tolu's playing some of the best basketball of his life. Double-digit rebounds in 3 consecutive games. First time that a Screaming Eagle has done that since Jacob Polakovic. So whenever you're being referenced or compared to Polakovic, I know it's your first year in Evansville. That's a good thing. Future USI Hall of Famer. So who knows? Maybe that's you down the line as well. But in asking about Tolu Samuels, got to ask you, I'd be remiss. What's your major? What do you plan on doing with it? Student athlete, right?
Business administration.
Okay.
And I basically want to start a culinary school business when I get older. So, yeah.
Culinary school business?
Yeah.
Really? So how did you land on that?
In high school, I took culinary classes, and then I just started getting more serious with them, and then I ended up getting my certification in kitchen. So I just love cooking a lot. My mom does it, so, yeah.
What are we cooking?
Anything.
What's the specialty? If I said, Tolu, I'm hungry, wow me, what are you going to make?
A steak with potatoes and, like, broccoli.
Okay, I like it. I like it. Good steak guy. So you're cooking for the whole team then, or at least you could. Do you?
I could, but I don't. Nah.
No.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just don't really feel like it like that. Yeah.
Who's your roommate?
Amari.
Amari's got to be asking you for some food.
Nah. We always eat out.
I've never heard of a culinary school chef or business owner saying, I just eat out all the time.
Yeah, I don't want to wash the dishes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if you made Amari food, he'd wash the dishes.
Nah. No. Sometimes dishes sit in there for days.
Plastic plates, plastic forks.
I mean, you got to use the pot, though, and, like, the pan.
That's true, I guess. That's really interesting, though. Yeah. That's really interesting. So after the basketball career, or are you going to juggle it at the same time?
It depends how long I'm playing basketball for. If it's, like, if I'm having longevity and keep playing for a long time, I'll probably do it, like, while I'm doing it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, I like that. Tolu Samuels here on WREF. I've got another question from the crowd. Celebrity crush. Who is it for you? We all have one. Don't be shy.
Miss Mulatto.
Who's that?
She's a rapper.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. I can't help you there. And I'll tell you what, just on a hunch, no one out here knows.
Yeah, they probably don't.
Okay. All right. So we talked about your family being in town. We talked also about the team having a Thanksgiving. Were you like Coach Gerard, where you had to kind of run all over the place and split your Thanksgiving, or did you do Thanksgiving with the folks?
They brought me food the day before the game, so on Friday they brought me a bunch of leftovers for me and Amari and stuff, so yeah, I ate that.
Are you sure that you're going to go to culinary school?
Yeah.
Because so far I'm hearing you eating out and then other people cooking for you.
Yeah, I'm still going to do it.
Could you make a Thanksgiving dinner? Because Thanksgiving, that's a different beast.
Yeah,
right? That's not just a normal meal.
Yeah.
That's a whole ordeal.
Yeah, I've never tried, but I think I can make it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I like that. Coach Gerard, I'd imagine, would be a tough guy to impress when it comes to food.
Yeah.
What would you make, Coach?
For Thanksgiving or anything?
Anything.
Probably nice little chicken breast with some veggies and some rice.
Some rice?
Yeah,
all right.
Get him a little stronger.
Sounds good. Yeah. Get him a little strong. Did you say stronger?
Yeah, a little stronger.
Are you implying that he's not all that strong?
Yeah, not really.
Okay, all right. We're talking about basketball here, so I don't get you into too much trouble. When it comes to basketball, you come from a winning program, right? Triton, one of the best JUCOs in the nation. You won, is that math right, 63 games
yeah.
in 2 years and lost 9
yeah.
of them. What was it like being a part of a program that had that much success on a stage like that? Again, one of the best JUCOs in the nation.
It felt good because it was always surrounded by a bunch of guys. Like, we were always happy and stuff, always celebrating. And, like, just winning, it just felt good that, like, everyone around town, like was, like, saying you guys are doing good, doing a great job, and then just having a bunch of fans of the game. It was always fun to play around.
I know that, at least at first, and you tell me if this is right, I feel that this is true, but you tell me if I'm off base, that at least at first USI was recruiting one of your teammates at Triton, and that's how you kind of got into the fold with them. Is that right?
Yeah, my freshman year they were recruiting, I think, Dylan Williams,
yeah.
Point guard, yeah. So I knew Coach Sprue and them, like, before. They used to come to our practice, and I think they came to a game and stuff, so I knew them before that, yeah.
When it comes to Coach Sprue, I know that he's got the Chicago ties. We were talking about the Chicago guys that you knew, right, going into your time at USI. But for Coach Sprue to pull all these Chicago guys, I know that he's a Chicago guy at heart as well. Did you know him before he stumbled into the Triton gym?
Nah, I didn't.
No? Mm-hmm. But what was it that attracted you to not only Coach Sprue, but the whole staff and originally made you think, okay, maybe I could be a Screaming Eagle?
Just how they showed that they cared a lot, like always contacting me. They came out to watch my game and goes all these. So I just knew that, like, when a coach really, like, talks to you all the time, comes to your game and takes time, that they really care about you as a player.
You know, when it comes to the Samuels family, you also told me over the summer that you were not the first person in the family to be sold on USI.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
When I came on a visit, my mom was just like, she's like, you don't need to take them. Like, you're coming here. Like, she's liked the vibe. She liked the coaches. Just liked where I was at and just liked what they had planned for me. And she just she's always like, I'm her only son, so she always like overprotective of me. So she just had the feeling, like, she said, when I get that feeling, I know, like, I'm safe with you here. Like, that's what I want you to be.
I guess it makes sense, actually, because she didn't get to name her son, but she can decide where her son goes to college.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. And she can embarrass that son with the cutout.
Yeah.
Not life-size cutout, though. You were 6'8", and that thing was...
Yeah, like...
Like here?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was on the Jumbotron. Did you see that in-game?
Nah, I wasn't paying attention.
It was. Yeah. It was on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, it's okay.
Everyone saw it.
It's okay.
It's okay. Next time, we'll just put your first name on the cutout.
Nah.
To see if it's okay then.
Nah. Just told you. Just told you.
Tola Samuels, everyone. Round of applause. Doing a great job on and off the floor. Congratulations on everything so far. Good luck, Western Michigan. Road trip tomorrow. And Tolu told me during the commercial break that he can't sleep on the bus. So you're just going to be on your phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Movie, TV show, music? What do you got?
I do a little bit of both. Like, I watch music. I listen to music, watch a show, and then probably just watch basketball.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tape's got to come somehow, sometime. Anyway, again, one more round of applause for Tolu. We'll take a step aside. Stan Gerard coming back when we return right here on WREF. And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show here on WREF. I'm Brad Klein. Thank you so much for tuning in and coming down to Spanky's on the west side right by Schnucks off the Lloyd. Talking about USI basketball with the head coach himself, Stan Gerard. I'll tell you what, Coach, Tolu Samuels coming on for two segments. That's an impressive guy that you've got on your roster.
We oftentimes, he'll go back and look at some of my old playing days, some old reels, and he thinks he can beat me in a dunk contest from back in my playing days. And you know what? He probably could. That dunk he made. I've never seen that dunk to this day. I've seen a lot of dunk contests, but that was very impressive. And I had nothing for that one right there.
Yeah, he got all 50s.
Rightfully so.
He should have. He was great.
Yeah,
he's been great on the floor as well. You know, something I probably should have mentioned with him on the air, but I'll tell you, and it probably makes more sense for a coach. I don't think I've ever covered a player, and of course he wants to score. Everyone wants to score. I don't think I've ever covered a player who will rebound no matter what, whether he's scoring or not. And he went for 2 points, and was it 15 rebounds
against
Valpo.
Yeah.
I've never seen a stat line like that, but you know what? It impacts winning at such a high level, and it's really cool that you've got a player like that.
On every scouting report, it says impact the game regardless of shots. And he's not demanding the basketball. He just goes and gets rebounds. And you can't have enough guys like that on the ball team that plays that way. And, you know, He can impact the game without scoring. You know, just think about, you know, some of those rebounds at Valpo. Those were in the critical minutes of the game where we was trying to create some separation, you know, getting stops, and he just comes out of nowhere and snatches rebounds on top of what he and Ola are doing in terms of protecting the rim. You know what I mean? So as a player, if I was a guard, I would love to have him on the team because I can shoot as much as I want. He's not demanding the basketball. He's going to go clean up my missed shots. And he's doing a great job of it. So we're going to lean on Tolu to keep that up because he's definitely impacting the ball game without scoring.
The other thing about Tolu, and you know, it's something I noticed very early in the summer. I was watching him in drills, and I just noticed that there is no one that he can't guard, at least on your roster. I mean,
yeah, I'm
incredible.
Sure, you know, the past few games we've been switching 1 through 3. I'm sure he wants to switch on a guard. We may do that this week. We don't know yet. But he can guard 1 through 5. You know, that's what makes him special. He's quick enough to guard smaller guys, but also athletic enough and tough enough to guard bigger guys, and that's what makes him the special player that he is. I think his best basketball is ahead of him. Now, once he, you know, comes in here, especially this next summer, is going to be huge for him in terms of, you know, just continuing to develop, you know, pick up some body weight. He's going to be very special, and we're excited to have him, man. We had a lot of guys we were recruiting, but I think we hit the nail on the head with Tolu because of what he's doing right now. And And again, he's got to keep it up, you know. And I don't foresee him falling off at all.
And like we said, impacts winning at a high level, regardless of who you guys are playing, regardless of how he's scoring Western Michigan. I'm sure he's going to impact at a high level as well. On Wednesday, you guys are playing the Broncos for an opportunity to make it three consecutive wins. How do you feel about this game?
Well, this team is they're different. They're 3-5, 3-1 at home. You know, they play South Dakota State, which we lost to by a nice margin. They played them to a 4-point game, and then they played Valpo a couple of days ago and lost by 29 points. You know what I mean? So I always compare the like opponents and kind of gauge where we are. But, you know, this is a fast-paced basketball team. They play fast, especially in transition. Jaden Brewer and Jalen Griffith, those are two guys that we really got to play a lot of attention to, but also keep them out of paint, because this is the team that I think, you know, from what I watched over the past couple of nights, they thrive on getting to the paint. They thrive in transition. They thrive on offensive rebounds, especially with Brewer averaging 7. So we got to do a great job of protecting the paint, but also, you know, just being great in transition and do, we always say this in practice, do us better, you know, be a better version of ourselves. And the past two games, our defense has been pretty stingy, you know, giving up 56 points in each of the two games.
Yep.
Our past two games, we need to hold these guys under the 74-point average, what they've been getting. But, you know, I think, again, the biggest things are going to be transition in our half-court defense and shutting down two guys on that ball club that we call their big two.
I got curious about your communication with KK. And KK Brown's a guy who's
Caden.
Oh, no.
He doesn't like Caden.
Well, I know, but only Ruben is the guy that we're outing on first names today. Sorry. KK, I don't want to bury the lead too much on him because, in fact, he was the game high scorer against Kentucky State with 20 points.
Yeah.
And that's a Michigan guy who's coming back home, bit of a homecoming for him and playing Western Michigan. So a bit of a chip on his shoulder maybe. I know guys always think about that. Could have recruited me, didn't. Let me stick it to you. KK Brown, how does he fit into
that? That's a lot of pressure, man. When you go back home and play, you know, KK sent out a text message yesterday because of tickets. We got to do our tickets on arms, and he sent a group text message out to the team. If anybody's not using their tickets, can I have them? Because it's 30 minutes from my hometown. He's going to have I would guarantee you about 30 or 40 people there. But that's a lot of pressure going back home and playing, because you think about Sheridan Sharp when we played at Butler. That was one of his worst games because of the pressure of being back at home, your moms, your friends, your high school teammates, your coaches all there, you know, hoping you do well, and that's a lot of pressure, and you start thinking about those things. I remember in a time at a Butler, and I'm like, Sheridan, push the reset button, calm down. He was so antsy because he wanted to, again, prove Butler wrong because they didn't recruit him, but also, you know, just have a good showing in front of his family, and I respect that. And KK is now in that boat, you know what I mean? And, you know, hopefully you know, he'll get in the game and do what he did against Kentucky State and drop 20 points for us. And the biggest thing is a win.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, that's Stan Gerard on the Stan Gerard Radio Show. Shout out first to Tolu Samuels for hopping on. He's awesome. Playing really well. Coach Gerard, really appreciate you
coming on.
Doing everything that you do with the program, with the show, and here at Spanky's. Just a lot of fun. So really appreciate that. Glad you had a great Thanksgiving with the family in town and with the team upstairs in the varsity club room. Shout out to everyone. I appreciate everyone so much.
And enjoying my cold beverage from my main man, Ray Simmons, who's resting in heaven. Ray Bippis, rather, who's resting in heaven.
So, yeah. Yeah, Shannon, I got Ray's jacket here, too. Wear it as much as I can. He's a special guy. So,
yes, he is.
Shout out to everyone. Really appreciate everyone. And, good night, everyone.
Thank you.